Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health on WRRS Radio Reading Services in Cincinnati. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, Holistic Clinical Pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions and your host for today's program. We're so glad that you could join us. Your Holistic Health brings you the latest in practical health information and health tips that help you stay safe, give you support, and bring you a message of hope. Today's guest is Sally Bauke, comedian from Cincinnati, who will be talking with us about the healing power of laughter. So stay tuned. But first, in the news, and this is from July of 2021, researchers have harnessed the brainwaves of a paralyzed man unable to speak and turned what he intended to say into sentences on a computer screen. Just imagine that. Studies are being led by Dr. Edward Chang, a neurosurgeon at UC San Francisco. His research involves a device that decodes the brain waves, which normally control the vocal tract and lip movements. The patient in his study is a man who suffered a stroke 15 years ago that left him unable to talk. Dr. Chang implanted electrodes on the surface of this man's brain over the area that controls his speech. A computer analyzed the wave patterns and created sentences to see when this man attempted to say common words. This research is only beginning, but boy, it's very exciting. Moving to health tips, the first one we're going to talk about: fruits and vegetables, one of my favorite topics. Because many of my clients are taking antioxidant dietary supplements to build their immune systems, I get asked a lot of questions about them, so I wanted to talk with you a bit more. But let's focus on foods for a change. And here are 12 foods that are very rich in antioxidants. What are antioxidants, you say? Well, they are compounds produced in your body and found in foods. They help defend your cells from damage caused by potentially harmful molecules known as free radicals. Free radicals are a normal part of metabolism, but when they accumulate, cause oxidative stress and may damage your DNA. Bottom line, chronic stress can increase our risk for chronic disease. That doesn't sound good. So therefore, eating a diet rich in antioxidants can help increase your blood antioxidant levels, fight oxidative stress, and keep you healthy. Makes sense. Here's a short list of foods high in antioxidants. You might want to write these down. The first one's great, dark chocolate. Glad that made the list. Pecans, blueberries, strawberries, artichokes. They're powerful antioxidants, but they're also a great source of fiber and minerals. Raspberries, kale, red cabbage, beets, and spinach. And my guest comedian today doesn't realize it, but I just made a smoothie for her with all of those ingredients. We're going to ask her to drink that later on. The health tip for today: this is the best time of year to buy fresh, colorful fruits and veggies for your antioxidant load and enjoy the benefits of whole food antioxidants for better health and healing. Tip number two focuses on wellness. What is wellness? It's a lifestyle choice. It's marked by the balance of your mind, your body, and your spirit. Physical wellness means you can get through the day with enough energy for work and play. Mental health or mind health involves social, emotional, and intellectual wellness. Social health means you have friends with whom you discuss your problems and you spend quality time. Emotional health means a sense of self-worth and the acceptance of things that are different from your own thinking, even if you don't agree with them. Intellectual wellness involves your ability to learn and to use knowledge you acquire. Spiritual wellness involves your relationship to other living things and the role of spiritual direction in your life. My tip for today is try to create a personal health declaration of wellness. What will you pledge to do differently in each of these categories today, next year, and long term? And my final health tip for the day is add more music to your health regimen and your to-do lists. Last night, I just have to tell you about an incredible concert that I was attending. It's called the Happy Together Tour. It was in Kettering, Ohio at the Fraze Pavilion, and this was a group of six well-known musicians, I've got health on the mind, that came together and played tunes from the old 60s. They were all top hits, the Cowsills, the Classics Four, the Vogues, the Association, Gary Puckett, and my favorite, the Turtles, who now have a lead from the old band called the Archies. Wow, was that ever a trip down memory lane? I haven't felt that exhilarated since I asked Sally to join me on air today. So there you have it, my health tip. Go to that concert if you can. Ticketmaster still has tickets. They're touring around, and they'd love to see you. And I'm sure you'd love it, too. So with that, it's time to introduce our guest. Sally Bauke is a clean comedic communicator. That's really a mouthful. I had to practice that. She's a comedian, if you will, and she's a really funny gal. She's a professional motivational speaker, and her shtick is Inspiromity. Inspiromity is on her website. I still don't know what that is. She just probably made it up. She's also a nurse. In 2013, Sally published a book entitled What Didn't Kill Me Made Me Funny. It's available on Amazon. Miss Sally, come on down and welcome to Your Holistic Health.
Well, thank you for having me. I just was trying to think of how my recipe for artichoke dip, because I know that you just said that, and so I thought artichokes, I can choke those down. Choke is the operative word there, because I don't really like those. But in a dip with some, you know, gluten-free crackers or little healthy seed crackers or whatever you would tell me to put on it, I can get that down. So I'm just that and dark chocolate. I mean, come on.
All right. Well, I think, yeah, you're the dip, and we'll I hope you don't choke. All right, let's try to focus, Sally. First question. Here we go.
Yeah.
Laughter strengthens our immune system. It boosts mood. It diminishes pain. It protects us from stress. Who wouldn't want to laugh? Here's this guy online called Craig Shoemaker from LaughterHeals.com, and here's what he tells us to do. He wants us to just say ha ha. Laughter is a strong medicine. So open up and say, ha ha. Sally, were you born funny?
Okay, that is a question people have asked my mother for years. Was she born this way? And my mother will say, she was born this way. And I go, Mom, that doesn't really mean exactly. I mean, in our culture today, it has a little different connotation. But yes, she would say that. Of course, I have always loved I don't know, imitations, if you will, or impressions. Like I would watch television commercials, apparently, even as a small child, and I would repeat those commercials. And I did love to laugh when I was younger. I had cassette tapes of, I won't say it now, but Bill Cosby. You know, I used to, and he is, he's still a genius, whatever he is in personal life, I obviously is not appropriate, but he used to be considered, you know, the king of great comedy, and I would listen to his cassette and Lily Tomlin and other just funny comedians, and I would have my friends over and love to just watch their reaction to it, and I loved laughing with them. So that was like, I mean, I'm talking in fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, and I just think I have always gravitated towards humor, not necessarily comedy, like telling jokes or anything like that. I really stumbled into being a comedian. Never was not on my radar. Like you said, I'm a nurse, and I was, you know, very interested in school and science and all those things. So it's been an interesting evolution to say the least.
Well, you know, I think laughter helps us live longer, and we're in the healthcare business, you and I, and we really feel stress, and I guess if you will, laughter can kind of alleviate some of that. But you know, I think about a study from Norway, and they found that people with a really strong sense of humor outlived those that didn't laugh as much, and even for people that were battling cancer in this study, which to me is really significant. Why do you think adults just can't laugh more if it's so healthy?
Well, speaking of studies, you know, studies have shown that children laugh 300 times a day on average, and adults laugh perhaps 8 times a day. And I think for my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, 8 was a year total. But some people just, I think when you get older, we take ourselves so seriously. And, life does get more serious for some people. You know, they have cancer, they have bills to pay, they have jobs to do, they have children to raise. There are a lot of things that can creep up into the adult life that can create more obstacles to seeing life in a carefree way, if you will, like a child would, because they don't have the same responsibilities. But I do think that tapping into that humor, and I don't even want to use the word comedy, because I love to think of levity and mirth as, because you don't have to be a comedian or even watch comedians per se to enjoy the childlike view of the world where we take ourselves less seriously. I really think that is the key, just not taking ourselves quite so seriously. You have to take a step back.
Well, Sally, if you had seen me last night with my date, I was very controlled, and I'll just say that at the outset, but I was not taking life seriously. I was being very childlike and lighthearted, and the musicians were cracking jokes that were very childlike and lighthearted, and I think that only contributed to the joy that we all were experiencing.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, I love that you said listening to music, because I think music, while it is not comedy or humor per se, humor or music can take us to a place in our minds that is just joyful and full of mirth. And it's funny because my mother is a music therapist, and she would go and play at retirement villages and Alzheimer's units. And I would go with her sometimes because I would sing with her occasionally. And you can see these people who haven't spoken in years, I mean, they're in their wheelchair. You play a song from their childhood and they come to life. They just, their eyes light up. Some of them will start, singing. They're stroke victims, they're dementia patients, all this. And it changes where they are in their mind. And I think that's a powerful tool that we can use, music and humor, to lighten wherever we are on our journey. It's so powerful. I think we just need to tap into it more.
I agree. And to just build on that, I feel that they both, humor, mirth, and music, have a common denominator in emotion. And where else can one go to really, significantly emulate or, express highs and lows and do that with respect and not harm or be appropriate, I guess. But again, it is really, the emotions coming to the surface where I'm going to focus on laughter. It draws us closer. As those emotions are expressed, it draws us closer to others, and it can have a profound effect on all mind, body, spirit elements and aspects of our journey. Do you agree?
I so agree. In fact, when I speak on this topic, which is, as you said, I do motivational speaking as well as, comedy, but I always have comedy in really any topic I'm going to speak on. But I love to speak on this topic, especially to parents and teachers. It's a great, and healthcare providers. It's actually perfect for that. Because if you really close your eyes, Kathy, and you think of somebody that you love to spend time with, I always ask my audiences, close your eyes and think of the person. Like, if you could just spend time with this person, chances are that person, you share a lot of smiles and laughs and really positive emotion. And I think that tells us something, right? It builds relationships. I've heard it say that a laugh is the shortest distance between two hearts. And I think that is really true. We build on our relationships when we share those positive, laughter-filled, mirth-filled relationships with other people. And then when the times are tough and we have the deeper, darker emotions, if you will, coming out. And I don't mean dark, but if we have sad times, we have built on that like a bank account. All those laughter times, they draw us so close that then we can also share the lows with those people. So anyhow, that I think you're so right. Can I jump in with something really quick? I think that you had talked about mind, body, and spirit. I've done a lot of research into laughter and so forth, and I think that laughter or the comedy comes from at least a cerebral response to something, right? We see something and it hits us as funny, or we hear something, and then there's this mental cerebral reaction to it. But I love how then it manifests itself in a physical manner. It causes us to laugh or smile or chuckle. You know, you don't even have to laugh outwardly, but you can laugh inwardly. And then you said spirit. And I think when we have that intellectual, then goes to physical, and then lightens our spirit, it's like a chain reaction. And I love that. We all need that. And I think it's healthy for us, because I think that's how we were created, to have that chain reaction. And it lightens our load, but it, like you said, it also increases endorphins, makes us feel better. It increases our immunity. Studies show that the IgA in our bloodstream and in our saliva even is increased after laughter, which is, you know, an immunoglobulin, which we can fight disease with. So it's all very powerful. It's very scientific now. We know these things. Excuse me. And I just love the chain reaction. I think that's how we were made to live.
Well, now, are you saying that we're going to have to test you? Do we have to test your saliva now to see if you've got more humor?
I don't want that job.
Okay, I don't need
that. But yeah, somebody has been paid to do that. They measure it in the saliva,
okay.
And it was college students. It was a great study about college students who, during exam week, who are super stressed and tend to get sick more often. This is all, you know, they've mapped this out, and they showed films of levity, humorous films, to a group of students, and there's the group that saw humorous films during exam week got sick less, and they measured this in their saliva with IgA being increased versus the control group. And I just find that fascinating.
I do too. And I'm looking at another research study, since you brought it up. This is from clinicaltrials.gov for our listeners who want to look into more details. It's about laughter yoga. And this makes me laugh just to think that it's out there, that people are out there laughing. So it's contagious. But I don't know if any of our listeners have ever experienced this. It, to me, is better than goat yoga, because I really don't like animals crawling on me. But I can laugh with the best of them for no reason at all if I turn my back away and they don't see. But this is actually for people with this study, for major depressive disorder, for mood disorder. There's another study in here with laughter therapy, not yoga, but just laughter therapy, for Alzheimer's, for ALS, for people with brain injuries. What a delight to know that there might be some possibilities in healing, or at least advancing, you know, health or mirth, which cannot be bad, in patients who are really struggling with some, you know, some significant conditions that I think we still have no concrete answers for. And of course, my shtick is I really will never feel good about saying the medications first and only. I always want to say last and if. So, I guess to use the research, and now let's just make it a practical discussion about how humor can maybe help us in our personal relationships if we are wise about how we use it. Can it help us resolve disagreements? Can it help us resolve tension in the workplace?
You know, that's an interesting thought, because laughter is something I really think, like medication, needs to be dosed properly at the right time to the right person in the right amount. And I've been pondering your question about that, because I think there are times that laughter is not appropriate and times that it is. You know, we always say there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. We've heard that Ecclesiastes, verse, people know that. But I think there are times when it is not the go-to, and I'm not sure that in a workplace disagreement that laughter is the right thing to use there. I mean, I say that because I don't think everything is to be made light of, and it can be misinterpreted as that. And that's why in my CD, Have You Had Your Vitamin Glee Today, I talk about, as parents, there's times not to laugh at things that your children say or do, or even if you're teasing, you know, it can be taken the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And then it is not therapeutic, but rather destructive. So I think that is something that would be case by case, whether that would be an appropriate thing. On the flip side of that, I will say that having a workplace environment of levity and joy and mirth is the best way to prevent those workplace disagreements. I have worked in several offices as a nurse doing legal analyzation or analyzation. I don't think that's the word. I made that up. Analyzing medical records. And I've noticed a very distinct difference in the attitudes in those two different offices. One was not an office of levity, and it felt very unsafe that there wasn't any humor there. And then the other office, completely opposite, just loved going in. The coworkers all got along great, and we would laugh together a lot, and it was in a healthy way. And so I think it can create a whole milieu of productivity, and it fosters great relationships between coworkers, and then people want to come to work. They want to stay. If we have to stay late, I know, I love these people. They make me laugh. We're fine. And so I do think it's a great tool in the workplace, but you just have to know how to use it.
I agree with that. And just to demonstrate that I am wise, so that you know, I really want you to know this. While you were sharing your wisdom, I was humming Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds. So just to kind of give some continuity.
Is there somebody still alive on your listenership who would know what that
well,
is?
Well, everybody last night would know, Sally. And if you'd been there, you wouldn't even ask that question.
I do remember that song. Gee, I remember it purse. On the radio as an infant. That's how I remember. I'm recalling that
okay.
now. Oh, yes.
All right. All right.
Back when we had the horse and buggy, I'm
nice.
Remembering that
nice.
Song.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind me not to ever invite you again. So let's just, we're kind of drawing long, imagine that, on time. And I want to sort of wrap up.
We could talk about this for days.
Well, honey,
I thought this goes till 4 p.m.
Well,
I'm just getting going. I'm so thrilled to talk about this topic because it works.
Sally, you don't get out much.
I know,
you really
I know.
Don't.
Well, with COVID, I was a stay-at-home comic, and that was not a good thing
well,
for me.
Okay, so you opened this door. Now, I'm going to say this, and you can just tell me if I shouldn't have said it.
Okay, oh no.
When I first met you and I first interviewed you probably 15 years ago, one of the things that you shared, and it was at that time, I don't know what it is now, you said, well, my husband is a nerd, and my kids, both boys, smell.
Oh, yeah.
Is that still true? I mean, I shouldn't have said it without asking you, but there it is. So.
Yeah, now I'm really upset, and I need to have a workplace discussion, and we need to have an
intervention
humorist there so we can resolve this. No, okay, so my husband, yes, he's an engineer, and he's a total brain nerd, and he's brilliant, and I adore him. And then I had three boys that I raised, and they did all smell, and I would have to wear a hazmat suit into the bathroom, which is their favorite room in the house. And, yeah, between that, all of that, plus, you know, I mean, medical things are funny anyways. I used to say that they were all going to live forever because I would laugh at those things. But somebody's asked me before, do you write your own material? Which I think is hilarious. Like, I'm Leno and I can pay people to write my jokes for me, which, no. I said, I don't. I don't write my material. I live it. And I get up in the morning. I used to get up and just watch what was happening around me. I'd write it down and then go places and tell people, and they pay me. And I think that's pathetic is really what that boils down to. But, yeah, life itself is full of humorous incongruities. And if you just open your eyes and look for them, you'll find them. And it's something, I'll be honest, it's something I've taught my boys. And my boys laugh a lot. They're so funny. They're funnier than me by far, and they have a great outlook on things. And I think that's because you teach your children to do that. They follow your example. For parents out there, they'll follow that. I'm still in that same boat, and I still live with the nerd. 36 years, we're coming up on, so yeah.
We're all going to congratulate you on that milestone.
Thank you.
And him. Tell him I can hardly wait to meet him after 15 years. Why has it taken so long?
I know.
Sally, we're going to just have to talk and do lunch because we're out of time. But
Are we done?
Well, hang on.
No.
Don't panic. Deep cleansing breath. Where can our listeners go for more information about your stand-up comedy?
I have something really funny to tell you, but now I can't tell you because we're done.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Okay. No, so a lot of my material comes now from my elderly mother. She's 85. She's always been a source of my material and probably why I'm a comic in the first place, but that's another whole a whole other session. So she's, you know, during COVID, she was always, she'd drive around everywhere. If her residential facility went down, it'd be because of her. She kept her mask under her nose all the time. I said, Mother, you've got to put that mask over your nose. That's how you breathe the virus in. And she said, in her sweet little southern accent, she said, Sally, I am following the CBD guidelines the best I can.
And you go, girl.
It made me laugh.
Oh, okay. My gosh. Now I'm going to steal that. Okay, where do they go?
No, you can't steal it.
Tell them.
You'll have to pay me.
Tell them.
No, I'm just kidding. So
hurry.
So I start writing it down. She goes, oh, that's going to end up in your little show, isn't it? I said, oh, yeah, you bet it is, Mom. Yeah. So you can find me. The fun thing I've been doing since COVID was on Facebook. If any of you all are Facebookers or even Instagram, I have someone who puts these things out there now. I think they're all out there. But I do little videos in the morning. I have no makeup, no hair. It's a come-as-you-are party for me. And I just get on there and talk for, I don't know, 4 to 7 minutes anywhere in there. And it just is something. Most of it's funny. Sometimes I'll put a serious subject on there or just reveal something that I'm going through. But, it's a complete no hair, no makeup, and I wear tiaras on Tuesday, as we all should. And I put that out there to listeners and viewers, and I love the comments. So go to Facebook at Funny Gal Sal and hit subscribe or like or both, I think is what you're supposed to do. And then I can also be found on Spotify or iTunes. I do have two things out there. I have a encouraging and funny session or CD for moms called Mother Superiors. And then I have You Had Your Vitamin Glee Today, which is like a book on tape because I'm too antsy to sit and write very much. And so I just had a voice. It's a, you know, like a book on tape. I'm talking about it. And so it's can be found also there, Have You Had Your Vitamin Glee Today? And it goes over the science. I go over the science stuff. So some of it's not really funny per se, but then I give, you know, I give ideas and examples of what you could do with your children from birth to young adulthood. So I love both of those. That's a way to find me. Instagram, you can find me there again, Funny Gal Sal.
Well, Sally, thank you so much for your presence today. You talked so long that I can't do the reading, but don't feel bad about that. It's okay.
I feel horrible.
No, I can't talk. You've choked me up. I'm choking on artichoke. Here we are thanking Sally Bauke, a clean comedic communicator and an incredibly dear friend. And it is time, sadly, to wrap up our show, but we'll be back. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist. Please visit me on rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on personalized wellness consultations. Blessings to all of you for whole person health, healing, and peace. See you soon.